It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
His house, the three and the lead, you betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner, PJ Tucker. Gordon by Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, and also the blog at ClutchCityCR. Now, for today's episode, we are going to do a season in review for one James Edward Harden. And, I mean, we got to start with the bearded fella, right? If we're going to do season review profiles, if we're going to go player by player and kind of break down how everybody's season went, we got to start with the guy on top of it all, James Harden himself. So the way that I'm going to do this is there was a Reddit post the other day that I actually took a lot of inspiration from, breaking down none other than Duncan Robinson of the Miami Heat. And they used this SWOT analysis, so strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And I thought that that was a really interesting way to break down what Duncan Robinson brought to the table for the Heat. And so I'm going to do that with James here in just a moment. And I'm going to focus on the strengths and weaknesses in segment two, and then the opportunities and threats in segment three. But this first segment, I just kind of want to rehash, you know, just a general overview of his season, kind of from beginning to end, and kind of some of the numbers behind it, what he accomplished, all that good stuff. So this is James Harden's, you know, eighth season as a member of the Houston Rockets. He has been to the playoffs every year of his career. James Harden has not missed the playoffs once in his career. Three seasons with the Thunder, eight seasons with the Rockets, and the Rockets are the only team that hasn't missed the playoffs during that stretch of time these past eight seasons. They're the only team that has made it to the playoffs the last eight seasons in a row. And that just speaks to the level of James Harden. Even in a dysfunctional 2015-2016 season, he was able to drag the Rockets 41-41 to the playoffs during a dysfunctional as hell season with the fallout alongside, you know, Dwight Howard and you know, the pressure from the year before, making it to the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors, all that stuff. So this season, he finishes his third year in a row as the NBA's leading scorer with an average of 34.3 points per game. He makes his sixth All-NBA selection to the first team. Just overall All-NBA selection. He was selected to the All-Star team. He finished top three in MVP voting, granted kind of a far and away number three after LeBron James and Giannis Antetokounmpo, but still still top three in MVP voting. So year in, year out MVP candidate. You know, what else have we come to expect from James Harden? You know, he had a really, honestly, a phenomenal year. He was number seven overall in assists per game at 7.5. His true shooting percentage was the best in his Rockets career at 63%. You know, he really hammered it home. He had a really stellar year. And I think it's really tough to expect more from James Harden, but as the franchise player, the expectations, you know, are pretty huge for him, unfortunately. You know, the shoes that he has to fill, the problems that he faces as the star player of the franchise, you know, at the end of the day, the blame will ultimately fall on his shoulders if the Rockets aren't able to progress or get to the promised land, unfortunately. And that's just how it is when you're the star player, when you're the face of a franchise. So as far as the season goes, I think coming into the season, there were some pretty big expectations with the trade of Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook and how James and Russ would mesh with each other. And I think for so much of the early part of the season, the first, you know, couple months or so, we saw James Harden and Russell Westbrook really trying to figure out how to best play with each other, how to optimize each other's strengths. And I think we did really see them start to gel in January and February, especially February. I think January was when James Harden hit that really bad slump, probably the worst slump of his entire Rockets career to that point. And it really sucks because that coincided with Russell Westbrook playing so well. And so you had even some people on social media saying that the reason James Harden was playing poorly is because Russ was then thriving in the offense. And I think that was so far from the truth. I think it just so happened. It was just very coincidental that James Harden's, you know, significant slump coincided with the emergence of efficient Russell Westbrook. And we saw those two guys really starting to gel together. And I don't think the fit with James and Russ was never going to be as clean as it was with Chris Paul, because let's face it, these are two guys whose skill sets do not complement each other whatsoever. But at the end of the day, and I've trumpeted this a lot, is talent trumps fit in the NBA. It always does. It doesn't matter how good two players fit together. If the talent level is there, they'll be able to make it work. And I think we started to see that with James and Russ in January and February, especially February, as the Rockets posted a 9-2 record, with the two losses just coming. One loss was the buzzer beater from the Utah Jazz, and then the other loss was the Phoenix Suns on the second night of a back-to-back with no Russell Westbrook. So they very well could have gone undefeated in that month had, you know, a couple things broken a little bit differently, you know, if they weren't resting Russ on the second nights of back-to-backs, things like that. So they were really hitting their stride in February, and then they had the 1-4 skid to start March, four losses in a row. You know, they finally picked up that final win against the T-Wolves, and then the season is suspended, right? You go back into the bubble, season starts back up again, and unfortunately, they never really got to be able to click anymore after that. So I do think that one of the areas that I'm going to focus on here in just a moment, talking about you know, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats for James Harden, is, you know, some of the areas in the bubble where I saw some improvement, some renewed focus, especially defensively. And I think that was such an interesting part of the bubble to me, and one of the most exciting parts of the bubble, was seeing James really with that renewed focus defensively. So I do want to talk about that, and I want to break down those strengths, weaknesses, and all of that coming up here in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. It's time to start enjoying protein bars, and you can do that with Built Bar. They have so many amazing original flavors: cookies and cream, apple almond crisp, German chocolate, my personal favorite, the double chocolate mousse. You cannot go wrong with it, and it's time for you to start enjoying protein bars, and I want you to enjoy them. You can check them out at BuiltBar.com. Look, these bars, they're basically candy bars that are jam-packed with protein. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're not gritty or chalky like some other protein bars out there on the market. They're great for the health-conscious person, whether you're trying to lose weight or just maintain weight, and you can do it while indulging in a delicious treat. Again, jam-packed with protein. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Absolutely great for a keto diet. And again, you can check them out. Just go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. If you'd like to call into the show, leave a message, 713-487-5457, for me to either play back on the show or to just listen to and then bring up as a topic on the show. Go for it. I created that call-in line so that you guys could interact with me a bit more. Or you can DM me. You can drop me a review on Apple Podcasts. I read those. I try to read them every single day. So definitely reach out through those mediums to, you know, if you have questions, whatever it may be. Now, diving into this SWOT analysis of James Harden, we're starting with strengths, right? And so James Harden has a lot of strengths as a basketball player. He is a very well-rounded basketball player. And I think, you know, so I could say, the list could go on and on and on with his strengths, but I think I can boil it down to his ability to, his shooting ability, his driving ability, his playmaking, and his post defense. I think that those would be, you know, his clear-cut strengths above all else, you know, areas of the game that he excels at. Now, as far as those strengths go, I think that when you look at James Harden, he is arguably the most complete offensive player in the league in terms of being able to get it done from anywhere on the court, whether he's driving, whether he's, you know, using his patented step back three, whether he's creating offense for other players. I've made the claim, and I stand by this, I will die on this hill, that James Harden is the closest thing you get to LeBron James in today's NBA, in the sense that they are both an offensive system unto themselves, that you can just give them the ball and they will create for others and generate high quality looks because of the gravity and attention that they command from opposing defenses. So his strengths are an interesting area, and there's not really so much that I don't really have to harp on his strengths because we're well aware of them, right? He's a great shooter. The difficulty, the degree of difficulty of the shots that he takes, that's an area that we're going to talk about in the opportunity section. But, you know, overall, those are where he those are the areas that he thrives in. So then when you think about what are James Harden's weaknesses, and it's tough, right, to be honest with yourself, to sit here and think, okay, how do you criticize your favorite player? How do you criticize the franchise guy? Well, you need to sometimes sit here and be a little bit honest and think, okay, well, where could James Harden improve, right? If you're looking at him as a player, where can James Harden improve? And I think that there's a few clear areas that he could use some improvement in, and that's going to be his on-ball defense, his off-ball defense, and his passivity at times. And so I want to go into detail a little bit further on each of these, right? So I will say that in the bubble, James Harden, his renewed effort and focus defensively was so refreshing. It was exciting to see him every post game, every interview, talking about how important defense was. Because it's one thing to just hear the players say, oh, well, we're got to focus on defense and this, that, and the other thing. And it's another thing to see them go out there and actually practice what they preach. We saw James Harden get a game-winning, a series-winning Game 7 block against Lu Dort to seal the OKC series. If you had told me that a few years ago, I don't know if I would have believed you, that James Harden would have won a playoff series because he got a block and a crucial possession, a potentially, you know, game-winning three from Lugans Dort against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So watching that growth, and just from the moment he stepped into the bubble, I remember those first couple games against the Dallas Mavericks and then the Milwaukee Bucks, James was stepping up down the stretch, really checking the best players. Against the Mavericks, he had multiple possessions where he guarded Luka and Kristaps Porzingis down the stretch. Against the Milwaukee Bucks, he had possessions where he guarded Giannis Antetokounmpo down the stretch and shut them all down because he was actually playing his best version of defense that I'd ever seen him play to that point in his career. That still being said, I think that on-ball defense is an area that he lacks in at times and throughout games. It's a choice, right? It's an active choice whether he wants to expend that energy defensively every possession of the game. You know, like certain guys, you can point to like Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, Giannis, guys who are locked in defensively every single play, who are known for being defensive guys, versus James, who has the capability to be that locked in. I'm not saying that he's ever going to be a Kawhi Leonard or a Jimmy Butler or a Giannis. You know, he's not going to be a DPOY caliber defender every possession of every play, but there are some plays that he takes off defensively. And that's just trying to be honest about James Harden as a player. He takes some plays off defensively, both either on ball where he's just, you know, he doesn't try his best to stay in front of his defender, or off ball where he does get caught unaware at times from some backdoor cuts here and there, or just, you know, not boxing out, things like that. And especially when the Rockets committed fully to small ball, you can't have those lapses, unfortunately. So moving forward, if the Rockets revamp their roster and get somebody, you know, bring back in a defensive anchor type big, you know, somebody who can kind of be that secondary line of defense, then these issues become a little bit less worrisome. But as it stands right now, if small ball is going to be the way this team plays moving forward, everybody has to be locked in defensively. Everybody has to be on a string defensively with rotations in regards to group rebounding or you know, rebounding by committee. And you're not able to have those lapses because those lapses, again, it's a very small margin of error when you're playing small ball. And that last area that I want to harp on, the passiveness that James Harden seems to, you know, exude at times throughout a game. I know, first off, I do think that I have been a little bit unjustly unfair to James Harden in regards to the Lakers series especially. You know, having discussions with multiple people, you know, since that series is concluded, just other fans from around the league, my own personal friends who are, you know, basketball fans, it's unfair to have expected more from James Harden in that Lakers series with how well he did play and the fact that his teammates were unable to be able to take advantage of 4-on-3 scenarios in which James Harden was commanding double teams, sometimes all the way out at half court, and not being able to convert on said double teams. So that in and of itself is a little unfair, but at the same time, that's the burden of being the franchise guy, is I'm sorry, there's sometimes when possessions like that would occur and James would willingly just hang out by the half court line and wait for the play to either reset or to come back to him, and then it turns into a rushed step back shot, or you know, a quick dish off at the final few seconds of the shot clock, and then somebody else has to get a rushed shot up. And that, to me, just, there were so many possessions throughout that Lakers series where the offense was not optimal and the changes were, the adjustments were not there, and I point a lot of that blame to Mike D'Antoni. But at the same time, James Harden is a guy who is more than capable of doing more than he was doing in that series to at least get himself more involved in the offense. Because to me, it's never been acceptable for the best player on your team to just accept, okay, two players are guarding me, they're double teaming me, they're hitting me with this flash trapping scheme. I'm just going to willfully give up the ball and hopefully my team can get something done 4-on-3. Yes, in a perfect world, they should have been able to take advantage of that mismatch, but we don't live in a perfect world. And I would like to live in a world where James Harden is more aggressive about getting involved in the offense, especially when teams are specifically scheming to take him out of the offense. I understand it was the Rockets' game plan, and they thought that the 4-on-3 advantage was more advantageous than trying to wiggle the offense around and find ways to beat the double team and continue to utilize James Harden offensively. But it's also a frustrating thing to see your star player being so easily removed from the game, and watching other star players like LeBron James and Anthony Davis not be removed from the game, right? Seeing them continue to dominate because the Rockets could not come up with a defensive scheme that would stop either one of those two guys. And again, it's not like the Lakers stopped James Harden, but there were stretches of games where he was largely absent offensively because he was willing to let his teammates do the work. And I get it, it was the offensive game plan, but that is still, in my opinion, one of his weaknesses, was how passive he was throughout that series. And I'm not going to change that opinion. So coming up, I want to hit on his opportunities and the threats to James Harden coming up in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually, guys just brush it off or they blame themselves, saying things like, you know, they lost their mojo, or they avoid it altogether with excuses like, oh, you know, they had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for all things Houston Rockets basketball. To stay up to date with the show, you can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin and also the show at Locked On Rockets. Now for this final segment, we're talking opportunities and we're talking threats. Now, opportunities to me are, it kind of boils down to just a few different things. And again, James Harden is the most elite isolation player in NBA history. He is elite with the basketball in his hands. And, you know, taking the ball out of his hands isn't exactly something that I want to do or that we should be advocating for. But at the same time, to be able to get the best out of James Harden and Russell Westbrook, I think there are times where James needs to be more active off ball. And this is a conversation that we've had before, and it's one that we'll continue to have. And hopefully, whoever they bring in as the new head coach can find new wrinkles to get James the ball in easier and get him easier shots. Because I think the degree of difficulty of most of James Harden's shots is unparalleled across the entire NBA. I think that James Harden constantly, I mean, I think that he shot in the bubble, if memory serves, through the regular season games in the bubble, so the 8 seeding games, I want to say that he was like 9 of 10 or 9 of 11 on catch and shoot three-pointers, where other players actually assisted him on wide open threes, because that hardly ever happens. James almost never has anybody else creating offense for him. And it's almost always him creating offense for others or him creating offense for himself. And he's elite at doing that. But the fact that there is another future Hall of Fame guard in Russell Westbrook on the roster who could very easily create a little bit of offense for James and maybe be able to get him the ball in a couple spots throughout a game where he can get the ball and be wide open because there's so much attention being focused on Russell Westbrook. I do think that there's possibility there. That's an opportunity moving forward, is making James Harden's life a little bit easier. It's a testament to his greatness that he's still able to lead the NBA in scoring for a third year consecutively while getting double teamed through most of the NBA season and in the playoffs. The fact that he's still able to put up the numbers that he does, the fact that he was able to finish, you know, at the rim at a rate of 73% throughout the NBA playoffs these past, you know, across 12 playoff games, while constantly being double teamed and still putting up the points that he did, still doing the work that he does. I would just like to see a world in which James doesn't have to work so damn hard to get everything going the way that he does. Because it feels like when you look at other teams and other stars, they don't have the workload that James Harden has offensively. They just don't. And part of that is schematically. And you know, maybe it's Mike D'Antoni's fault for just being an enabler and letting James just keep the ball in his hands and not, you know, trying to get him to move off ball a little bit more, not instituting a little bit more dribble handoff or, you know, off ball motion to be able to get some wide open shots for him, because he's more than capable of doing it. James Harden is more than capable of coming off of a down screen occasionally and stepping into a wide open three-pointer. But, and this is going to be the interesting part about bringing in a new head coach, is we're going to see, is it a James Harden thing or was it a Mike D'Antoni thing? I think it was a Mike D'Antoni thing. I think that James Harden is more than capable of being that style of player and still being an extremely efficient player while also taking the ball out of his hands just a little bit to get him some easier shots here and there. So that's my first one, is kind of off-ball movement making his life a little bit easier offensively, because there are the tools and there are players, again, Russell Westbrook being one of them, to be able to make his life a little bit easier. And the last one, and this is something that we've talked about a little bit too, is just adding a little bit of variety to his offensive package. And again, it's a testament to how good James Harden is and has been that defenses know exactly what he wants to do every single possession. They know that it's going to end in a step-back three-pointer or a drive to the basket where he attempts a shot at the rim or gets to the free-throw line or kicks it out for a wide-open three-pointer. That's all that's happening. That's the Rockets' offense to a T. And you know what? They still can't stop it. You know, the only way to stop it is to actually put two defenders on James Harden and force the ball out of his hands. So adding a little bit of variety to his offensive package. And when I say variety, I'm not saying, you know, make him shoot mid-range jumpers, right? No, I'm saying get him the ball in different spots on the court so that the defense can't predict exactly what he's going to do every single possession, right? If James Harden walks the ball up every single possession, the defense knows to key in on that. If he's going to be the one carrying the ball, or even if he's not the one walking the ball up, if it's just the 21 series action where James kind of runs up from the corner 3-point line and then catches the ball on a quick dribble handoff, and then from there they're attempting for a switch, or you know, they run a quick action right there in the slot. Either way, it's James constantly with time for the defense to adjust for him, right? And I think that's a little bit on James for how methodical he likes to play. He really is a guy who likes to, you know, when he's getting his way defensively, he kind of likes to do his little lullaby dribble and kind of lull defenders into a false sense of security and then attack as soon as they have one misstep, whether it's a misstep and then he steps back into his three-pointer, or a misstep and then he's able to explode past them towards the rim. That's what he likes to do. He likes to be measured and methodical in his approach to the game. But it's a double-edged sword, because not only is that how he's so effective, because that kind of gets him into his own rhythm, it allows defenses the chance to have the time to double-team him, to have the time to reset their half-court defense and attack him. So his slower pace, you know, that's something that we've seen. It takes him, you know, sometimes the Rockets take 12 to 14 seconds off the shot clock just to get into their initial action offensively, and by then you're taking too long. And that kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, the idea that the Rockets want to push the pace and get out in transition a bit more. And that's something that, again, is a James Harden thing that we know he's capable of, but he also really likes to work in the half court and get his isolation game going. So moving forward, that's an opportunity, is getting out in transition more, getting those easier opportunities before defenses are set. And so here's my last thing, and I think this is the biggest threat to James Harden, right? Moving into the next season, he is a guy who's had an insane amount of mileage on his body. He's been a certifiable Ironman, you know, throughout his career, really has hardly missed any time with the Rockets. I think it was only he's missed 33 games or something like that across his entire 8-year career with the Rockets, which is impressive as all hell. But his biggest threat, I think, is his usage. I think that whoever comes in next year as the head coach has to be willing to minimize James Harden's usage. And I'm not saying he needs to be load managed, but going into his, you know, his 12th NBA season, the load that he's had to shoulder for so many years now, he was third in the NBA in minutes per game at 36.5 minutes per game. There is no reason for James Harden at 31 years old to have to shoulder so much of the offensive load and to have to play the level of minutes that he does play. He needs to be, whoever comes in needs to look at reducing his usage a little bit and maybe even load managing a little bit, because the idea that James Harden has this significant drop off come playoff time because he's, because his usage rating is so high throughout the regular season, I do think there's some merit to that. And I think that moving forward, if we see the Rockets utilize James Harden a little bit less or just kind of monitor his minutes a bit more, he can be a bit more fresh in the playoffs. And that's something you have to do with him as he's getting older. He's not the same, 27, 28-year-old James Harden he was anymore. And yes, it's hard with James Harden. He's a guy, he loves to hoop. He is a hooper at heart. He loves the game of basketball. He wants to play, but he needs to understand, and the coaching staff and, the ownership, the management needs to let him understand, look, if you want to have a long, productive career, if you want to continue playing at an elite level for the next 3, 4, 5 years, whatever, however long it may be, before he starts to experience a significant drop-off, then it needs to start now. The work needs to be put in now for James Harden to remain healthy and elite moving forward. And so I think that is the biggest threat to him moving forward, is if he doesn't or isn't willing to cut back on the amount of time that he's playing, then I think that could bode for, not bode well for the Rockets, especially, as he's getting older, potential injuries, all that kind of stuff. So that's my SWOT analysis for James Harden's season. Hope you've enjoyed it. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.